Welcome back to Racing Pulse, and it is time for the Inter-Dominion ID 18 form panel before the finals at Tabcorp Park at Melton on Saturday night. We've got the best in the business, the voice of Victorian racing, Dan Malecki. How are you, Dan?
I'm very well, thank you, Michael.
Blake Redden as well is here, ready to tip up a storm. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Mick. Privileged to be here.
And the dashing and self-proclaimed best-looking man in harness racing, Jason Bonington. How are you, Bonners?
Yeah, look, there's not a lot of competition, Mick, but I'm working through it and just trying my very best, and very grateful to be here as well.
Can't wait to get our teeth into both the pacing and the trotting final, and one person who will be the star on Saturday night, hopefully, from her perspective, is Natalie Rasmussen. There's been a lot of debate about who she would choose in the final. She's made her decision, and we know she's a superstar and a champion, but some may be surprised, and she joins us now on Racing Pulse. Natalie, great to have a chat to you. You must be absolutely rapt with how the series has gone so far. Why have you decided to stick with Cruz Bromac over Spankham?
Hey, good morning, guys. Why, Cruz, oh, look, he's probably one of them old horses when we got him. You know, he'd had a couple of different trainers by then, and he was probably a bit of a timid big guy. You know, he wasn't that tractable. You know, he could hang a little bit and pull a bit, but he's just sort of getting better and better, and I just really, I feel being an older horse, he may not have another opportunity to run in the Inter-Dominion or run at this level, but Spankham, as far as I'm concerned, he's only four. He could probably have another year or two at this level, so... I know old Cruz pretty well now. He's starting to really sort of trust me and just relax a bit. And I just think, you know, to give him every opportunity, I'd probably always better to stick with him, you know, just because I know him a bit better than Mark.
Nat, it's Dan here. You haven't had Cruz Bromac for a long time. Have you noticed an improvement since you've had him? He has won a Group 1 race, and you've had five drives on him for five wins.
Yeah. Look, I don't know so much as he's improved as such, but probably just tractability maybe. Like everyone keeps saying, oh, he can't get around the bends up the track, but he seems pretty damn good, you know. I'd be pretty confident to sit anywhere on the track with him at the minute. So that's probably I wouldn't say improved ability-wise, but probably just tractability he has.
And Nat, how's he come through the series? Obviously, everything has seemed so easy for him. He led and won just as he liked on night one. Night two, he was against inferior opposition, and you just did as you pleased again. And once again, it was such easy work on night three. When they win that easily, is it hard to get a gauge on exactly where they're at, as opposed to Spankham, who's also done things relatively comfortably through the series? But you know, there's so many other ways of knowing that Spankham's going so well. As you've mentioned, he's put on weight through the series. He's bucking his brands off. It's clear that Spankham is loving this experience. Are you sure that Cruz Bromac's improving through the series, given everything seems to have been so fundamental and so easy for him?
Yeah, look, I think because he's an older horse and he's had a bit of racing, I actually think this has probably been the very best case scenario for him. He hasn't copped a gut buster, and he hasn't been knocked around doing it. Every run has been a confidence builder for him. So I think that's probably more valid than racing, you know, maybe a bit harder races or whatever. I think, you know, just the fact that now his confidence is sky high. Just his manner, you know, his demeanour around the barn. He's getting a little bit cocky about himself. He thinks he's pretty good at the minute. And that's, you know, great to see. So, yeah, I'm pretty pleased with the way he's come through, even though his heats may not have been as strong.
Nat, we know you have this great history through the race, the Inter-Dominion, with Blacks Are Fake, and the way that Australia has worked in the past, you haven't been able to have your name as a training partnership, but the team has won the last two Inter-Dominions. I mean, you have a pretty good base and a pretty good way of getting your horses right for the big occasion. Has everything gone as planned in the last week or so?
Oh, yeah, they're really, really good. I could not honestly, guys, be happier with either of them. I mean, I know we've still got a few days to go yet, so just barring any bad luck or anything going wrong, I just couldn't have had a better run in. I don't think this has probably just been perfect.
How much of a hindrance is the second row though for Cruz Bromac? What do you need to do, or what do you need to happen for him to be the one to beat?
Look, I actually, when Danny asked me about the draw, he was going into the Barry draw. He said, "Oh, Nat, what do you want?" I said, "Anywhere on the second row, except for one the second." So now I'm actually thrilled to bits with the draw. I think it gives me a lot of options and a lot of choice, and I think the horse will be more settled from the second row. So it doesn't really worry me how the races run. I'll just make my own luck when I have to.
Yeah, well, you mentioned you don't really care how the races run, and I really don't think you do. You seem to be a driver, and always have been, who can make the decisions while you're on the track and as the race unfolds. But we still have to talk about the tactics of the race because they're so crucial to what's going to happen. Everyone's got it mapped differently. Crandall Getty's been out during the week suggesting I'm Pat's Delight can lead. We don't really know his gait speed, have gone through it, and he seems to have an element of gait speed. Spankham's got an element of gait speed. MacDoro and Maximan can both run the arm. Tiger Tar is likely to be driven aggressively. In your heart of hearts, even though I know it's not occupying a lot of your mind, what do you think will happen in those first 700 or 800 metres, and will it suit Cruz Bramac? What you think will happen?
Look, I think there'll definitely be pace on early. Everyone's got to get a spot, haven't they? Like, we're here to race. We're not here to all muck around out there. So, and the big money's up. So there's always speed on, you know, when the money's up like this. So yeah, look, I think they will go hard. There'll be a couple of them looking probably for the prime spot. And I just think, whichever, and if they do back off, I'll have to make a move. If they keep running, I'll sit in. So it's really just for me, I've just got to govern as it unfolds, how quick they're going and who's done what to get to where they've got to.
Nat, I've had a little bit of a discussion with the boys, and I was of the opinion, and this is just me, I'm not saying it's the general consensus, but I feel confident enough that Cruz Bromac is good enough to make a move and sit in the death seat for the last 1400. That was the sort of mark off point that I was thinking he'd be capable of doing that, if indeed you felt the need to make a move mid race.
Oh, most definitely, yeah. I have no doubt he could. I think that's what I really like about old Cruz. He's just got, he's quick, he's tough, he's mentally tough as well. So if they've sort of burned a little bit early and I've got to make that three wide move, I'll be very, very happy to.
And we know your history, as Blake said, with Blake's a fake, and Mark is looking for history to win three in a row, train and drive three in a row. If you nut him on the line, how much satisfaction will that give you, and who'll have the bragging rights?
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Look, Mark and I, we're seriously very competitive out there, and we're always... you know, trying to beat each other. But, look, hey, if he wins fair and square, good on him. But if I beat him, you know, that's good too.
Good on you, Natalie. Good luck for both yourself and Mark heading into the final Saturday night.
No worries. Thanks very much, guys.
Good luck, Dan.
Gee, how much of an ambassador, both Mark and Natalie as well, for the sport of harness racing? It's just phenomenal what they are able to achieve.
Well, I reckon Dan would know more than the rest of us, really, about the times with Blacks Are Fake. And it was, a really intense time for her, I'm sure, to have a champion. Very young lady to have a champion who won, of course, as we've mentioned on the show before, 4 Inter-Dominion titles and ran second twice. It feels like... She's got the game face on, but she's so much more relaxed these days, isn't she, Dan? She's enjoying the experience more, and she's loving having sole responsibility, I think, for these two horses through this Inter-Dominion campaign.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's worn her well, having had Blacks Are Fake, because the pressure involved with a horse like that would be momentous. This, as much as there's pressure, I doubt it would compare to Blacks Are Fake. And she's proven her capabilities both in the sulky and as a trainer. And you can tell that, by the way, and how well these two horses are not just going, but have emerged through the latter part of the spring. Clearly, they weren't really penciled in to come over for the Inter-Dominion until almost cut-off time before the plane left. So they waited as long as possible to have the two, I guess, best horses that they thought would suit the series. You can't doubt them, can you? They could have had 4 or 5 other horses that could have come here. It's hard to imagine something was better than those two the way that they've performed through the series.
And there are levels, I reckon, Mick, in terms of training, particularly with standardbreds and thoroughbred world as well, and with greyhounds. But your first goal is to try and be able to train winners. Your next one is to be able to try and train Group 1 winners, feature race winners. But to be able to travel horses and win big races, I think earmarks you as a truly genius trainer. Tim Butt has been one of the great ones, that Mark Purd and Natalie Rasmussen. To be able to do that, it's a next level thing. There's plenty of good trainers that can't do it.
Between them, they've won, and this is quite staggering, really, between them, Inter-Dominion, finals. Between them, they have won 12.
That is crazy. Absolutely unbelievable. Insane. That's Bart Cummings' figure.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, gents. After the break, you've been giving your thoughts all week. We're going to drill down on both the Trotters and the Pacers final, and you are all going to give us the winner. We'll be back after this.
This is the RSN 927 Network, reaching 92% of Victoria.
The summer autumn issue of Ladies in Racing magazine is out now with Amanda Cadenar on the cover. Ladies in Racing is the only national glossy lifestyle magazine, especially for those who enjoy the glamour and stories of ladies in thoroughbred, harness and greyhound racing. And it's the perfect gift, especially for Christmas. Receive 6 issues, starting with this issue, for only $59, including postage in Australia. And you could win one of 5 $300 ambassador travel vouchers. Ladies in Racing magazine, 1-300-783-112 and ladiesinracingmagazine.com.au.
Mobile swings into the back straight. They're all set for a start.
It all comes down to this.
Favourites right up on the gate. The green light's on. They're racing.
Join me for the ID 18 finals Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Melton.
The bandages have unravelled, but Tornado Valley's not stopping. He's pulling away. It's like a cape on his back.
RSN 927 is your home for the ultimate Australasian trots racing blockbusters.
But it's Cruz Bromac Clear, and Cruz Bromac makes it 3 out of 3 in the heats.
The finals of the Tab Inter Dominion Pacing and Trotting Championships.
Feeding Spurs just in front and he'll get home.
We've got the stars, the good form, and with every Interdom moment, Dan Malicki. These are the best of the best, the toughest of the tough.
But Spankham is going strongly and Spankham is going to do just that.
RSN 927, the official radio broadcaster of the Tab Inter Dominion.
Inside Racing, Racing Victoria's official magazine and Australia's best monthly racing magazine. And you can subscribe now. Inside Racing is packed with feature stories on our heroes, horses, jockeys and trainers, full coverage of the carnivals, country and picnic racing news, breeding news and commentary, plus the Inside Racing industry section, the Bible for trainers and jockeys. Subscribe now. Call Racing Victoria at Customer First, 1300 139 401.
To advertise in Inside Racing, call Slattery Media Group, 1300 783 double.
ID 18 panel for Victorian fire safety. Get a professional fire safety inspection of your home at no charge. See victorianfiresafety.com.au.
Welcome back to a special preview of ID 18, the finals. Let's get stuck into it with Dan Malecki, Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. The pacing final, we just spoke to Natalie Rasmussen and they dominate. Natalie and her partner Mark Purden. The favourite is at $3.20, Spankham, ahead of Cruz Bromac, who's at $3.60. Then out to I'm Pat's Delight, which is at $5, $7, Galactic Star, and the others under double figure odds. Tiger Tara is now out to $8.50, and then we've got Sam Carlo at $10. Gents, I'll start with you, Dan. Firstly, from a market point of view, do you think the market has it right?
No, I don't. I think certainly the order with Spankham and Cruz Bromac being 1-2, they're going to be my top two. But I thought I'm Patch the Light come up way too short. I'm having trouble mapping where he's going to be at the moment. A few things have to happen in the first couple of hundred for him to be in a position to be a $5 shot. Galactic Star's the other one. I think the barrier draw obviously will suit him. He's a key player. So is Tiger Tara. I keep thinking Tiger Tara may well have drawn 3 or 4 because I think in the position that he's going to be in, he'll be to that spot where he would be if he drew 3 or 4. So he seems to get out of the gate much quicker when he's drawn wide. When he's drawn 9 and 10, the wide draws at Menangle, he always flies across. He comes across as quick as MacDoro, who I don't think will be used up. So I think Tiger Tara, if I had to pick one that I would rate slightly lesser odds as Tiger Tara, but I do think now the market has got Cruz Bromac and Spankham 1-2 because the other day I'm Pat's Delight was the second favourite behind Spankham. I thought he was unders. I'm not saying he can't win. I think he's got a terrific chance. I'm just having a bit of trouble mapping where I'm Pat's Delight will get to.
I don't think it'll be until another few hours, maybe until tonight, until I've 100% settled on exactly how I'm going to tip the race. But tipping's one thing, really, isn't it? Finding value is more important, I think, in a race like this. And Tiger Tara, I'm with you. I think he's going to either end up in front. I've mapped him in front, because this is the way I see it playing out. Galactic Star, I think, will try and hold early and will be willing to hold Spankham and I'm Pat's Delight if indeed they both get out quick enough to challenge with any, you know, meaningful intent. And I think they'll want to wait for Tiger Tara because they'll believe two things. One is that Tiger Tara will have had to do plenty of work to get there, and the other is that they'll be able to run past Tiger Tara. They will feel after that third round of qualifiers, Greg Bond and Ryan Warwick, that we can let Tiger Tara get to the front. He'll carry us everywhere we need to go, but we might be able to out-sprint him. We might be able to get that little kick on him. So that's how I see the race panning out. And it's no surprise to anybody. I think San Carlo, who's now drifted out to $10. In the other scenario, If he's behind the leader, if Galactic Star tries to lead, it could be a problem, but he's in the prime spot. Three poles in a brutal, merciless run of Fairbakes, and I reckon he's a massive chance. He can't win via the sprint lane. He needs the heavens to open, but I reckon it will. If it's mercilessly run, those in the running line and three wide will be in a lot of pain a fair way out from home in a 2,700-metre race. And if he can push out, if Beck Butley gets the confidence up and she can push out at the right time, I reckon he can win Sankalo.
To some degree, but his issue is that he's going to have four, probably five horses in front of him.
Who've done a lot more work than him.
Who have done a lot more work, but potentially that still have that kick left. And we know being on the pegs at Melton is very important. If Tiger Tara gets to the lead, we saw what he did in the Victoria Cup. It doesn't matter if he does more work. If he can get to the pegs, it's hard to see how he'll, you know, he won't be right there at the finish. So,
how tough is it to win an Inter-Dominion final from the front?
Well, around Melton, we don't have a lot of evidence to say otherwise that you can or you can't do it. We've seen Tiger Tara in a Hunter Cup get probably monstered by Lazarus to a large degree. I'm not sure he'll cop that much pressure here. He will cop pressure if he leads, but going back to Galactic Star, he is the linchpin because I don't think there's any way he can hand over to Pat's Delight or Spankham. Pat's Delight, they're saying they want to lead all the way, but it might change when the pressure is applied to him. And Spankham, you know, there's a really good chance he'll hand up to Cruz Bromack if he gets there quickly. So if you're Galactic Star, you either have to try and lead all the way or you can only really hand up to Tiger Tara.
That is the other scenario, isn't it, Dan? And we're not trying to put tactics into, you know, people's minds or whatever, but Galactic Star knows that Tiger Tara is the one horse he can hand up to who won't hand up.
Oh, absolutely. And the possibility then that Tiger Tara could slow the speed slightly. Even when he goes slow, it's like 29.2, but that is still going to be a strong enough race to suit the Kiwis. And there are three Kiwi-trained horses. Tiger Tara, if he comes flying out of the gate, any horse that flies out of the gate at 2,700, I don't want to be on. Galactic Star would come out of the gate, try to bluff for perhaps a furlong, take a sit, that's cool. Tiger Tara, if he flies the gate, goes up there to monster Galactic Star, and there's a bit of a fight early on and he has to work hard to get it, he will need, and very important, he gets a bit of a breather for the next 300 or 400 metres. If that happens, Cruz will either go around, Spankham will go around, Iron Pats the Light, they'll get their opportunity to get around cheaper. So you've got one horse that's in front that's done a bit of work, and the horse that's sitting outside of him that really hasn't done any work to get there. So it's really crucial that 400 or 500 metres, the first 400 or 500 metres, who leads? Because I don't really want to be on the one that has to work hard out of the gate. We haven't mentioned McDoro, but I think we all agree, and I don't want to put words in anyone else's mouth, he's a very quick beginner, but I doubt he could cross Galactic Star anyway, and obviously that the 2755 is the big query for him. And I think he might have come from behind running down Tiger Tara not that long ago as well. So don't rule him out of your exotics, McDora, even with a sit. Because if that brutal tempo happens that you had made mention of, he's one that could run third or fourth, I think.
All right, gents, give us your selection at this point in time, and I want a roughie as well in the pacing final.
Oh, I'm tipping Cruz Bromack and from Spankham, and I'm Pat's Delight, so I'm going Kiwi 1-2-3. I potted Speeding Spur in the first, so I've got to make up for the Kiwi. No, I didn't pot it, but you know what I mean. The best value, I will go for... I'll go McDoro a place. Okay. First four, third or fourth. How's that?
I'm happy to be with Tiger Tara. I think if he finds the pegs, he'll be really hard to run down. I'm definitely not discounting Galactic Star. He's going really well. Sankalo, I think it could be peg dominated if everything works out. And if absolute mayhem does ensue at any stage, and I've just not totally given up on Rapper's Delight. He can't win the race, but first four I'd be throwing him. He's the one I'd throw in.
That's eight different horses that we've just mentioned.
I was gonna say, can you round out the field for us, Bonner?
I'll do my best. Now, look, I'm more and more warming to the horses who are going to be out of the early battle. Sankalo on top of Cruz Bromack and Tiger Tara. And just some stats that I did during the week. They could be totally meaningless, but only two horses here in this field in the last 13 months have won multiple times over a trip 2,500 metres or longer. Sankalo and Cruz Bromack, they've both done it three times, and three of the fastest five-mile rates among the field here over 2,500 metres or further in the past 13 months are owned by Sankalo. He's done them all from in front, but he has the resume to do it. I think if Cruz Bromack and Sankalo can stay out of things early, Sankalo obviously will, they'll be the ones finishing off really hard. And Tiger Tara, while he's a great horse, the big difference between the Victoria Cup and this, he's only won over more than 2,500 metres once.
But he sat parked in New Zealand Cups and seen massive places.
He's done this, but I just feel that there is a chink in his armour as a stayer, possibly. And if he has to do stacks of work, I think he might be going to run another very, very brave second, third, or fourth.
So just in the interest of full disclosure, how much will you win if San Carlo wins the Inter?
I tell you what, there's prizes more profound than money, Michael Falgate. And, there'll be some money involved, but there'll be more. The celebrations will be more. You know, I mentioned on Twitter the other day, I loved a horse called Hector JJ, who wasn't, you know, it was around in the last few years. And a lot of people wanted to tell you he was an underachieving cat for a long period of time until he went and won Group 1s. I would just love to see San Carlo get his big Group 1 success. I'm not saying he definitely will on Saturday night, but he's definitely in the mix.
You're not kidding anyone. You're a material man, we know. What about the Trotters Final? And I heard you guys talking yesterday on Winners, and it's interesting that, Blake, you're becoming a little less confident.
I'm getting nervous.
Tornado Valley at $1.70 and Speeding Spur at $3.20, whereas Bonners is the opposite. Dan, where do you sit?
Tornado Valley I've got to go for. He can obviously make his own luck. I expect he'll be in front. However, if he ends up sitting without cover, that's where he's going to be vulnerable at that trip. But every horse in that race will have total respect for Tornado Valley. I have to tip him to win. Speeding Spur's going terrific, got the barrier draw. When I say going terrific, I think I've seen him go better. But to be fair, I went back and looked at his replays again last night, and he's done nothing wrong. In fact, I thought his best run was in the middle night at Ballarat.
That's huge.
You know, better than his two wins, heat wins. So if that's the case, he must be going well, and I probably need to respect him a little bit more. And The value, well, Kai Valley Blur's the one. I think he's a Group 1 horse, a genuine Group 1 horse. He is 11 years of age, but
good stayer as well.
That's right, and he can finish over the top. If there's just that little 200 metres more genuine tempo than a lot of us may expect, it suits Kai Valley Blur the best of any other horse in that race. And I want to rule out Save Our Pennies. From being runner-up to Tornado Valley, all three runs through the Inter Dominion, if Tornado Valley just has that slightly harder run, he's got to be a genuine threat.
Mm. Yeah, well, Tornado Valley, I am getting more and more confident. I mean, we all should have been on at the $4 before the series started, so if we weren't, and I wasn't, well, you've only got yourself to blame. He'll be winning. He's drawn the front row. That's all he needed to do. He'll be winning. I'm very, very confident of that. But I reckon there's some little tricks and machinations at the start here. Monty Python begins quite quickly. A lot of people will just be mapping Save Our Pennies to get into a perfect spot here, get across outside a Speeding Spur, and maybe get cover from Tornado Valley. I'm not so sure that will happen. Kingdom Come's a blowout chance of running a place if it goes three poles, and Speeding Spur holds the front. Tough Monarch can run a race as well. It's going to be an intriguing race, I think, but at the end of the day, class will win, and Tornado Valley's just in the zone, and Trotters more than paces. If Trotters are in the zone, it's like a mare in the zone pretty much. They're at another level. And right now, Tornado Valley, I just think, is that half step above everybody else.
Does Kate Gath have a decision to make at the start? Does she have to go handlebars down to try and get across Speeding Spur, or is she happy just to cruise over?
I personally think she'll just cruise over.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it would benefit anyone to come flashing out of the gate to make a statement. You wouldn't want to fire the horse up over 2,700, I wouldn't have thought, because he can get keen. I guess that's the only reservation a lot of us might have, is if he got keen. But really, we are clutching at straws and drawing a very long bow by suggesting that, I think.
Gents, it's been a great series so far. It's been a great building it up here on Racing Pulse and on RSN. We'll continue to do so over the next few days. It's going to be a huge Saturday night for all of you guys. We'll get to see it on Sky. It's great. We'll get to see it on 7.2.
Oh, it's a super coverage. And if you like taking exotic bets, there's a $500,000 expected quaddy pool on Saturday night. $500,000 expected.
I don't need any more reason to have a quaddy than that. But I'll have a more expensive one.
What we'll do is on Friday, we will get all of your quaddy numbers. We'll put them up on the RSN website. We'll tweet them out as well with that as well. Dan, good luck with your call.
Thank you, Mike.
Anything floating around the back of your mind for certain winners?
No.
Any lines?
No, not at all. Not at this stage. Well, I didn't rehearse the Tornado Valley one last week. I actually had no idea until I...
You went and pulled the bandages before the race.
I did, yeah. I gave Kate the cheap ones early on to make it more entertaining. I was worried it'd just be a one-act affair, but it was a bit like, you imagine all the punters there thinking, oh, Tornado Valley's home. They've turned their back on the race, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I'll fix you guys up, you know, and make it a bit more entertaining. But I haven't, and I usually don't, but being prepared for what, you've got to be sharp. I remember the 2000 into Dominion, Courage Under Fire hit the gate at the start. So funny things happen in big races. You see at Melbourne Cup time, Spring Carnival time, in the big races, a few nerves. Odd things can happen. They often happen in those events than they do in lesser known races. So got to be on my toes to expect anything.
Look forward to your call on Saturday night. Blake Bonners, good luck. We'll listen to you on RSN throughout the rest of the week, and hopefully it's a punter's paradise.
Thanks,
fingers
Nick.
Crossed. That's it for the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you want to listen to anything that Brian Kruger said or Mark Van Gestel, jump on the website, download that. Matty Stewart will have plenty of articles up. On tomorrow's show, we're going to look ahead to the Flemington meeting on Saturday. Simon Zara will join me in the studio. We'll also have the trial files, and also Mick Floyd and James Vandermark will be in the studio the last 15, 20 minutes with a great concept that Greyhounds Racing here in Victoria have brought in, the National Draft. We'll have more on that.